Hello, friends. Welcome to another program of Two Guys with Heart, with Giff Briner and Dave Colonen. These two fine Christian gentlemen will do their very best to bring encouragement to your faith. We all undergo difficulties throughout our lifetime. How do we respond, and what is the correct direction that we should take? Giff and Dave will give it their best shot to guide our lives through the work and words of Jesus. And now, here they are, Two Guys with Heart.
Hey, good afternoon, friends. It's Giff Briner here, another program of Two Guys with Heart. Me and my good friend,
Dave Colonen.
Chaplain of Cumberland Valley Christian Radio. Dave, we have a fascinating program for our listeners today. You know, every now and then we tackle a tough subject. Well, today we're going to talk, you know, it's Valentine's Week, and, you know, people are celebrating all the good times. How about if we talk about some of the difficulties with unlovable people? You know, we have to work with these people, whether they're around us or our neighbors or our relatives, and sometimes it's not so easy how to handle all these situations that might come before us. Let's talk about that today to see if we can't find out what the scriptures tell us about dealing with unlovable people. Let's take a look. First off, let's just say right up front, the love is the most powerful force on earth. But there's a lot of things we should know about it. The Holy Spirit is the source of the greatest force on earth, and that, of course, is love. That's written right out of Romans chapter 5. I didn't make that up, by the way. True love is not manipulating another. True love is not deciding by the conduct or behavior of another. True love, well, it pursues life's overwhelming joys. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Luke 19, verse 10 says just that. Love protects. Love provides. For I am the Lord that hath thee. Exodus chapter 15, verse 26. The fruit of the Holy Spirit is love. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. Galatians chapter 5. The proof of love is the desire to give. That's right out of the scriptures as well. The Holy Spirit enabled Jesus to love. He prayed, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Luke chapter 23, verse 34. The Holy Spirit enabled Stephen to love those who stoned him. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin at their charge. Acts chapter 7, verse 60. The Holy Spirit alone could plant this kind of love inside a human heart. It would have been normal to pray a prayer that called down fire from heaven on those and stoned you. Now, this is a remarkable work of grace in the human heart. It is normal to retaliate. It is human to fight back. It is uncommon and divine to forgive. This is true love. Many wives have birthed the salvation of their husband because of the love of the Holy Spirit within them. Their husbands came to Christ because of their conversion and their conduct. They never quit loving their husband. Thousands of rebellious teenagers have been drawn back home like a magnet to their loving parents because of the love of the Holy Spirit. Anger is common among disappointed parents, but the Holy Spirit can do the impossible, impart an uncommon love for the rebellious and the stubborn teenager. You see, God sends his love towards you even in the worst season of your life. But God commandeth his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Romans chapter 5, you'll find those words. Dave, you have been around for a long time. You've pastored a few churches, and you've been in the ministry your entire life. Are there other words you can always share with us about the uncommon love that's just difficult to find in unlovable people? There are probably words that you might have to share with our listeners that you would find inspirational for them.
Well, I believe that God decides with the Holy Spirit our assignment on earth. I believe that that's coming from heaven. He gives us people who are unlovable, who don't have anything like we have, who don't want to be like anything we are. And I guess our assignments are made way in advance, and we have to learn how to develop the ability to pray in the Spirit, to believe in the Spirit of God, to believe that God wants us to come forth, because He has an assignment for us. You just don't get out there and do everything on your own. That I don't believe that's the way it is. And if that's the way you're living today, you need to change that. You need to get your life and your family together and say, let's talk about some serious stuff for a change. Quit the frivolous talk about nothing. You know, even the man who knows every joke in the world and tells it all the time, you get tired of laughing at his jokes, because we are not made that way. We are made to care for the assignment that God has given us. While we are yet in our mother's womb, God decides then what we would be when we are finally born. Everything that's created is a solution for something. And God has created us to see. He's created us with ears to hear. Our hands can reach. Your feet can walk. Your mouth speaks. Mechanics, they have learned to solve car problems. Lawyers have come up with legal problems. Dentists, they take care of your teeth. Mothers have emotional problems. Ministers solve spiritual problems. We are a people that are troubled, and we have to find a way, a solution, to say, I know this is what God wants me to do. And all you need is somebody to bring you to your senses, and you say, you know, you guys are right. You come on here every day and you talk about stuff that I never dreamed of putting it in those words. That's the miracle of radio. That's the power of the Spirit of God. It takes two guys that wanted to say something important, and when they say it, people who were just sitting there in a daze, not even thinking about too much, and all of a sudden you bring a great big subject and you put it on the table, and everybody picks it up and says, yes, 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 I want to do that. That's where life begins. You wake up in the morning, yes, and say, what am I going to do today? Well, God gave you an assignment, and it solves a problem. That's a lot of unlovable people. We have them in our friends. We have them in our churches. We have people that we just wonder how in the world they've gotten, yes, so far as they have. So, what, you have any unlikable people as friends?
We all know those kind, Dave. You are correct. The unlovable people or the undesirables that try to interfere with our assignment that we know the Lord Jesus has in mind for us. He's leading us in a path and a direction that we know we have to pursue. There's always, we like to think of it as Satan at work, but sometimes it's just undesirable people who refuse to accept the assignments that we're given. And you are correct in your thought process. We do not decide what our gifts are. We discover our gifts. The Holy Spirit leads us in a direction that says this is the avenue we must pursue. What you love is a clue for your assignment. Think about it for a moment. What is your greatest passion? What excites you? What energizes you every day? If you could speak on any one subject, what would that subject be? You see, whatever you love, you will have the wisdom towards to follow that. Your love determines your wisdom. A desire to learn will emerge toward whatever you have a love for. It may be animals, it might be babies, it might be automobiles. Hey, pay attention to what your passion is, and whatever's placed within your heart. It is a clue to your assignment on this good old earth. Isn't it good that we don't all like the exact same things? You know, what you hate is a clue to something that you were created to correct or change. When Moses saw an Egyptian beating up an Israelite in anger, the anger rose within him. Why did that happen? Well, he was their deliverer. You may hate alcohol or drugs or child abuse or whatever it might be, but that could be a clue that something in you was created that needed to be changed or corrected. That could be your direction. What grieves you is a clue to something that you were created to heal. Your assignment is a geographical map. The Holy Spirit knows exactly the town, the city where you should be living or where you should be ministering. The Holy Spirit will lead you there. Just follow the Holy Spirit. Spiritual champions always depend on the Holy Spirit for their specific instructions so they can follow their assignment. You must find the center of your expertise. Nobody else can find it for you. You may not be produced through your logic, your questioning. Not even those specific personality profile tests you receive for a particular counselor. You know, the Holy Spirit alone knows your assignment. You will only be discovered if you follow your duties and your assignment as you've been given it. It says that right in the Bible. Read Psalms chapter 26. Always remember the Holy Spirit decides your assignment and the problems you were created to solve. That's what we have to do, working together, doing what the Lord Jesus wants us to do.
Hey, when you're doing the Lord's work, He builds into you for your assignment. If you're a compassionate person, you just have compassion on everybody you come in touch with. Tears. Are you a person that cries a lot? Is there something that moves you to tears all the time? That's God's way of saying, hey, listen to me. I'm telling you, you have a gift. I've given it to you a long time ago. Tears are a language that God understands. And when He gives you tears, you better be looking at, hey, what am I doing with this? What am I doing with this? Is this my assignment?
Yeah.
I looked at the people in my church. Who can I touch? Who can I reach out to? Who can I love? In my prayer time at 9 o'clock in the morning, uh-huh. We're all praying together at 9 o'clock for 15 minutes. And I one of my prayers is help me to love more people and love better than I have. Sometimes I falter and.
Yeah, we all do. You're just honest, Dave.
Loving people.
Yeah.
Just putting my arms around them and saying, you know, I want to talk to you. Can you come to the house for a cup of coffee or something?
Yes.
I want to do more of that. I want to really be a part of that. If then maybe that's my assignment. I haven't looked at it like that. This is a new concept that we're talking about today. Do you do that?
David, you want me to be honest, David?
Yes.
You gave me a little challenge 6 or 7 weeks ago when we did a program about our assignments to help other people that we see were in need, and your experiences that led you to help your neighbors, even to the point where you went and bought them a pickin' chicken. Remember telling us that story?
I do.
Dave, there's a perfect example of how you have inspired me to follow that dream or that assignment, that work.
Did it work?
It worked immensely.
It changed your whole
thinking
process.
I have a family that I've been needing to help, and I've been wanting to help, and I've been helping them now since that program. What was that, almost 2 months ago?
Mm-hmm.
Almost that long ago, I guess. And it makes me feel like a king. Perhaps it's not a major assignment, it's a minor assignment, but I felt the calling to do that, and I have lived that way. And I think that's what you're trying to share with us today. Those assignments can be major, they can be minor. It can be major to change your occupation, it can be major to change where you live, or it can be as minor as helping the person that sits in the pew in front of you on Sunday morning.
Yeah, and God will give you more than just say, hey, go help that person.
Yeah.
He said it so plainly in our automobile when Judy and I were driving. He said, your friend needs a chicken,
yeah.
A pickin' chicken.
Yep.
And we turned a car. We turned the car around and said, hey, this is worth going after.
Yeah.
And when it came to you, you did the same thing.
Yep. Your words inspired me to follow up on that.
Right.
And that's exactly, I was listening to the Holy Spirit was telling me, and I guess sometimes don't we have a little resistance into us? Sometimes don't we want to resist doing something new or resist a change, something so radical that means I have to give up something in order to do a new thing? And when you're reaching into your own pocket and you're helping another person that's not a family member, my, that can be a life-changing experience. And I believe that that's what you're trying to share with us today, alluding to the fact that we have to follow our assignments and we have to get away from dealing with unkind or unfriendly people and make the best of this good old world we live in to help more people find Jesus in their hearts. That's what this message is all about today. And I'm glad that you have enlightened me again, David. I can tell that you've been a pastor your whole life because you do have a way to put some of these very heavy subjects into common language that we can all understand clearly. I thank you for doing that.
Well, there's there's always somebody that needs us.
Yes.
In my church in Davenport, I had two blind people. They were kind of helpless. I mean, they were blind, but they had to be led here and there. And once they got into you, they were looking to get into anybody. And if they got into you, then you had to spend longer than you wanted to be with them.
Yeah.
And I noticed in our church, Davenport, I watched as a pastor, when these blind people would come in, people would move over and hide. They couldn't see him, so they were hiding up against the wall, so they go pass right by, be real quiet. And they, you know, they could sing. The blind girl played the piano, and the blind boy sang.
How about that?
It moved our church every time.
Did they?
And they never realized that, like, when we took communion and the bread, seemed like they were always hungry. They must have not had a lot of food. Uh-huh. And when the blind guy couldn't see who saw him. So when the bread would come by, he'd take a whole handful.
He didn't realize what he was doing.
And the whole church is watching.
Yeah.
The blind Mike.
Yeah, right.
Blind Mike is going to eat the bread.
He didn't know. Yeah. And no one wanted to dishearten him and let him go. Let him have a handful.
But we felt sorry for him.
Well, he didn't know.
And we let him sing and her play the piano.
That's wonderful.
It wasn't the greatest of
things. Right.
But when you sat there and you said, that lady's blind playing the piano, and that guy's blind singing.
Yeah.
And look what they're doing for the Lord. And what am I doing?
Yes.
I'm sitting here saying, whoa, could I ever do that?
Yes.
Those people, you know, we made them famous in our church. They were famous.
That's wonderful.
I wonder,
could have been their assignment.
Oh, unbelievable. Yes, they came into our church and we paid special attention to them.
Yeah.
I wonder where. It's 25 years later since I've been the pastor of the church. I would love to go back and see if they're
still singing.
Still eating that bread that comes with the communion cup.
That's wonderful. Well, Dave, that's a very good explanation of what our assignments might be. Let's move on to another area of this endeavor with the hard, difficult people to live with that don't want to follow their assignments. We have to be able to persuade people that we need to team up and work with all of these people. You know, somebody needs us. What we can do, what you and I can do, and all of our listeners can do for other people. The people need our experiences, our words, rather it be a chicken dinner or rather it be teaching someone blind how to play the piano. Somebody needs our talents and skills. We have to be able to take the time to give to these folks. The Holy Spirit decides your assignment on earth, so that assignment has to go hand in hand with actually helping others. Let me read what it says in Acts chapter 8, verse 29. Then the Spirit says unto Philip, go near and join thyself to the chariot. What that means is that we're all created to solve a problem for somebody. Everything created is a solution to an existing problem. That's us. That's you and I. That's everybody together. Your eyes see, your ears hear, your feet walk, your mouth speaks. Didn't we have a parallel similar to this a week or two ago in one of our messages, and how all of these things work together to solve problems? Whether you're a dentist, a mechanic, or a lawyer, or an educator, or whatever you might be, your job is to solve problems. Mothers solve emotional problems. Pastors resolve spiritual issues. We all have a task to help others. You were created to solve a problem on this earth. That's what you do. That's what you get paid to do, solve problems. The Holy Spirit knows where you belong, so we have to follow that lead wherever the Holy Spirit sends us. That's our assignment. Jesus depends on the Holy Spirit completely. That is why he knew about the Samaritan woman waiting at the well.
Hey, Giff, I'm always doing the praying. I'm going to ask you today if you would like to pray for these people that need us, and we don't have our ears and eyes and feet ready to do what the assignment comes. We need to pray. We need to ask. You know, you can ask me about a lot of stuff, but boy, when we ask God,
yes,
it makes a difference.
That's right.
So, would you pray the prayer today?
Well, sure. Let me try to set the stage for a prayer that I have in mind. The Holy Spirit gives us the right words to say to these people that we're assigned to try to help out. And I know your assignment may be different than my assignment, and our approach to them could be different. And there's no one rule that works all the time. But it makes all the difference in the world to soften or tune away from the hardships of this good old world we live in. Try to be pleasant to these people that we're trying to help. The Holy Spirit will reveal to you what you should be doing and to whom you were assigned. Sometimes the only need to have a listening ear is all it takes. Sometimes they simply need your words of caution or encouragement when you're talking to these other people. The Holy Spirit knows exactly what they need. And David, you are correct. We have to pray for these situations. And always remember that the Holy Spirit knows to whom we have been assigned. And I think we should pray for that. And let's do that. Let's unite our hearts.
Amen.
In a prayer for one another. Our Heavenly Father, you have a design strategy for my life. I belong somewhere today to help somebody. Somebody needs me. Somebody needs what I can share. I ask that your words be placed in my mouth so that I can strengthen and encourage instead of harm or wound. That you will direct every hour of my day, that I am doing the right things, that I am counting on you completely. Understand that without you, I can do nothing. I trust in you, Holy Spirit. I trust that you will lead me to do and say the right things to all of the right people. And in Jesus' name, I ask for your guidance to complete that task. Amen and amen.
Amen. Very good. Very good. I feel good when we pray. And our time is, that slips by.
Yes, it does. It does. Have any closing thoughts, Dave, you'd like to share with us? We talked about dealing with uncommon people or unkind people and following the assignments that we have, the task to be completed, and dealing with all different kinds of human personalities. Are there any other thoughts that you'd like us to follow before we say goodbye to our listeners today?
I think if you will let God give you instructions, you have to look back and say, when did I take advantage of instructions before? Sometimes we don't talk to the Lord. We don't get the assignment. We don't get the we disobey God because we don't get on our prayer bones, or we don't ask in our prayer time for God to give us people. You know, I don't know how far we go tonight. I've got church tonight. This is Wednesday. But I'm already planning on going to look at church and see who I can talk to tonight before I go home and lay my head down on the pillow.
David, you're to be commended. That is your assignment for the day, and we all have such assignments. We have to listen to the Holy Spirit and see where he's leading it. Dave is going to try to find the assignment tonight in his church, in his home church. And you know something? That's a good place for us all to start. Look in our families. Look at our church. Look at our neighborhoods. Look on the job, wherever you're working. There are somebody out there that needs what you can offer, what you can share. And if you do that with the Lord in mind, you're going to be a very successful person. Jesus will welcome you into the pearly gates someday with open arms, because he's going to look at you and say, well done, my good and faithful servant. That's what we all should be striving to do. Help bring other people into the loving arms of Jesus Christ. We must say goodbye for now.
Yep, I enjoyed it. Good to see you. Be with you, Giv. Have a good one. Bye-bye.